Phil Mickelson, I'm totally willing to jump back on him here.
My dark horse to win it is going to be Scott Stallings. He's a good Poana player. He was 14th here last year, coming off a 23rd at the Waste Management. Trending in the right direction. He's only 6,900, so great price.
Paul Casey's one of those guys for me, but I think he overall came in at 5th for me this week. He's...
Ches Reavie. He's 8K on DK, 9,800 on FanDuel. If you're a FanDuel guy, think about Reavie.
Right now, I think Jason Day is probably my favorite.
Welcome in Lineup Logic. I'm your host, Mike Alexander. With me, Alex Remezowski, here to talk some DFS golf on the Sweet Spot. How we doing, Alex?
Pretty good. As always, good to be back.
Yeah, it was an interesting tournament this past week. Had, as many people predicted, a big win for Ted Potter Jr.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you weren't on Ted Potter, then, you know, you should just give up now.
Right. But, yeah, we'll see. This week, I think a lot of people are going to take that to heart this week and go a little wild. But... yeah, other than that, a lot of big names at the top, DJ, Jason Day, anybody you want to highlight from this past week?
Yeah. I mean, we got Phil Mickelson in there too.
Yeah. He had a good final day.
Yeah. A lot of guys coming up, right behind the winner there who honestly going into Sunday, I was like, no way Ted Potter takes this home. You saw Wayne Gretzky. It's funny we're mentioning him right now, but Wayne Gretzky withdrawing from the tournament on Sunday. And I'm like, all right, this means Wayne is like, all right, DJ, I'm going to let you do your thing. You go out there and take this down, get your win. And that's not how it happened. Ted Potter looked like seriously unstoppable on Sunday. It was crazy. He didn't mess up.
No, not at all. I had an all-time great round on the third day. Kept that momentum.
Yeah, so consistent.
Yep. But yeah, you know, it's an interesting sport, golf. You can be, I think he was ranked in the 200s in the standings, and you know, you win a huge tournament out of nowhere.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were like doubting him on that last day, but then there were the select few that were saying, well, you know, he has been here before and he's won. I think it was the Hooters tour he was on for a while that he had like multiple wins on, and then
down in Florida, another, right?
Yeah. And then he had another PGA tour win. So it's like it's not like he's never been in a pressure situation before. And like seriously, watching the guy, he just looked like stone cold all day. It was DJ, like little mistakes here and there, and Ted Potter was just like no emotion on his face. He's playing with this CEO guy, like he wasn't even phased. And then in the interview afterwards, he seemed like he was gonna cry. So it was like either he's good at masking it or he was really in the zone. One way or another, you gotta respect the guy. Yes, he did.
Yeah, well, one thing I wanted to point out about the, you know, the tournament is there's a lot of big numbers on Sunday, and obviously Sunday's the hardest day of the tournament. That's when they, you know, they make the hole placement difficult. Everything's a little harder. They want to really toughen the course up. So you know, you saw guys either being even or being in the plus numbers. So that's something to keep in mind as you're sweating your lineup. A lot can change on the final day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Saturday is moving day, and then Sunday is who knows day. And the other interesting thing is that like that was their second round at Pebble Beach, and they weren't playing the same course 4 days in a row. So you go back to Pebble Beach, you might have played it Friday, you might have played it Thursday, and then so you're going back there. I think the wind kicked up a little, so it was interesting. It was a good finish, but I think that's 2 weeks in a row that we've seen Sunday scores being substantially lower, or not lower, higher than the previous three rounds.
Right, worse. Yeah. So, but moving on to this week, you know, little contest selection talk. You know, this is a bit more of a straightforward tournament than the Pro-Am for sure. So, you know, cash games, 50-50s, double ups, or you can get a little bit safer, I think, this week. You know, you've got more predictability, I feel like, than a Pro-Am with the different three different courses or two different courses, like we saw on the Career Builder, that sort of thing. What's your feel on this week as far as contests go?
Yeah. So I think we're kind of like back to normal in terms of daily fantasy golf, what people are used to, what you saw all season last season. It's like, we're done with the fall swing. We're done with the very early, like, welcome back January into right. February. So I think we're finally getting that full field back. We're finally getting the play the same course 4 days in a row back. And yep. I think people, you again have just full on course history to go off of. Like, Riviera is a course we've seen for years and years and years on the tour. So I would agree. I think it doesn't hurt to like kind of ease yourself in. You don't necessarily need to go. I know DraftKings has the $44 kind of their like featured event this week. Instead of the usual $33 dog leg, it's the $44. I don't even know what they the club twirl, which everyone's been trying to win entries to lately. So yeah, I mean, I think it doesn't hurt to, you know, take a step back, see what you're getting into, and see if you can start the real season off strong.
Yep, a lot of big names back this week. But yeah, jump in, keep rolling with the course there, Alex. Tell us what we're dealing with at Riviera.
All right, so we've got the Genesis Open at Riviera Country Club. It's in Los Angeles, continuing on this West Coast California swing here. For the, I'll say second time, it's technically the third time, but in my mind, second time, Tiger is now back again. We're right. seeing the introduction of some of these international guys that have not been around for the past 3 or 4 weeks, or maybe even in this season. So I think you're starting to see kind of like the intro of what maybe the Masters will look like, or what some of these other majors will look like, which is awesome. Like, this is where like golf becomes golf again, and it gets real competitive. So the course, Riviera, like I just mentioned, we've seen it on tour for years. A lot of these guys are very familiar with it. Some of them not so much. Some of the younger guys, some of the European Tour guys and the younger European Tour guys. So the course is a little over 7,300 yards. It's par 71. So 7,300 yards, you're not thinking it's all that long, but it is par 71, which means you're kind of lacking a par 5 there. So there's three par 5s, meaning we're kind of focused on longer par 4s. So I kind of took an approach this week that kind of focused more on the guys that can hit fairways and hit approach shots, rather than what listening around and reading around a lot of people are looking at bombers this week, which I don't think is going to hurt you. Like, distance, like I have mentioned in the past, hitting the ball far is never going to hurt you. Yeah, the only time it's going to hurt you. Yeah. It's always like, okay, so you outdrive someone, you're in better shape. But if you're one of the guys who bombs it, if you're like whoever, where you hit it far, but
yeah, there was a lot of talk this week between DJ and Ted Potter Jr., with DJ blasting 30, 40, 50 yards further on his drives than Potter. And they were able to still compete. So it was kind of a big hot button issue on like Golf Channel and things like that, where they were talking, as technology advances, guys are able to hit it farther and farther. And is it a good thing? And a few people's point was actually that, yes, it is, because if Ted Potter can't hit it farther, DJ still has that distance and he can make a long par five where Potter can't.
Yeah. 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 I one specific moment I was watching, I think it was on Sunday. I should know what hole this is, but I don't. It's the huge, it's dogleg right par five where you got to hit up with the blind shot. DJ stung a 3-iron out there, and I think his 3-iron was 320 yards. Like, so it is, it's like, it's getting a little absurd, but at the same time, like, look who won. I mean, the guy who was hitting it shorter. I think if anybody out there has played golf and has been the guy who doesn't necessarily hit the long ball, which, like, personally is, like, very much me for some reason. I don't know what it is. I just don't hit the ball that long anymore. And you can beat people. You don't need the distance. So that's kind of the approach I took this week. And I'm saying, so this course, you got a ton of trees. You got a ton of sand traps. It's like, if your drives are off the mark, you're going to get yourself into some real trouble. And the guy that can hit the low ball into the fairway and be safe and leave themselves 180 yards into the green, which, like, they should be able to hit a decent approach shot there. That guy, in my mind, is the one who's going to excel this week. So, like I said, I don't think a long ball is going to hurt you. It never does hurt you. But I'm more focused on really greens and regulation. I'm focused on approach. Again, like weeks past, putting on Poana. I think this has got to be one of our last weeks thinking about Poana greens. But hey, we got some numbers to work with now, so, like, it's cool. And then I looked at short game and scrambling, and then some of the par fours, mainly 450 to 500 yards. So that's pretty much what I've got for the course. And we'll
greens in regulation and fairways in regulation, a big deal for this one.
Yeah. I think if you're missing fairways, there's like a 50% chance you're straight behind a tree. So anyone who thinks you could just bomb the ball and, you know, like, who cares where it goes, I don't agree with it.
Right. So let's jump in, talk some of the top studs here. Got some names for sure this week. Who you liking up there in the 11s and high 10s?
Yes. So we've got quite a stacked field here. Like, I really do like to think this is like a bit of a major preview for the year. Especially, like, it's at a course that some people have even said plays similar to the Masters, to Augusta. So, starting right off at the top is Dustin Johnson, who pretty much what I said about him last week is again true this week. He's hot. He's been playing great. He's has, like, flawless course history. He won here last year.
Just on another level right now.
Yeah. And, like, really my one reservation with him was watching him play on Sunday. Like, I don't want to say he didn't look like himself, because a lot of people did struggle on Sunday, and it's not like he did that bad. He was right in there the whole way. It was like a big mistake for him, put him like two behind, and then he, like, worked his way up to like one behind. So all in all, I mean, his price on DraftKings has only gone up $200. It went from 11.7 to 11.9. He came in second here in 15, fourth here in 2016, won last year, and he's coming off of just some, like, ridiculously good play. So my take on Dustin Johnson is, like, he's not going to hurt you. He's not going to miss the cut. If he does, like, send me a message. I'll say sorry. He's not going to miss a cut. He's not going to hurt you. Like, the worst I'm going to say Dustin Johnson can do for you is like a 23rd place finish. And, like, if you can pay up for him and fit other people in there, just do it. Why not?
Right. He's in that Antonio Brown type realm where it's, you know, even if he doesn't have his best game, he's still scoring in the top 10, probably, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, last year he quote unquote fell down the stairs before the Masters. So barring some sort of incident, like falling down the stairs or whatever actually happened to him, I think you're good to go. So I guess going off that.
Yeah, that's like any time during like spring training in baseball, you know, you hear a guy fell in the shower. It's like, you know, yeah, what actually happened? What bar were you at and who did you fight?
Yeah. It's like nobody actually wants to come out and say it, but I think we're all pretty much on the same page there, especially with a dude like Dustin Johnson, like his past.
A little bit of a history.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. So moving on. I'm going to go down to Jordan Spieth here. Jordan Spieth, okay. I've been on him, I think, 3 weeks in a row now. I ended up actually last minute. I know this is contrary to what I actually came out and said on the podcast, but last minute I read some fact about Dustin Johnson, about his just ridiculous amount of top 10s in the past 10 years at Pebble Beach. And I was like, all right, what am I doing here? Like we got Jordan Spieth here, or I could make the slight move up to Dustin Johnson. So what I ended up doing was dropping. I moved up from Spieth to DJ and down from Patrick Reed to someone else, which, like, I don't know anyone, yep. Anyone who's ever played DFS, like that type of stuff just does not happen in the last 5 minutes before lock, but somehow it happened to me. And it's kind of insane because Patrick Reed was, as you all probably know, a giant letdown last week. And I am once again just like fed up with Patrick Reed. So
yeah,
Jordan Spieth, though, he's got some good course history. He missed the cut in 2016, came in fourth in 2015 and 22nd last year. He showed us a little bit, like he came back from his previous performance last week, and finished 20th last week at Pebble Beach.
Yeah. And I mean, 20th isn't that bad. I mean, it's not winning you a huge GPP, but it's a solid score. Right.
Yeah. See, I feel like Spieth he's coasting. He's back. He's warmed up. There's no like doubts that there's no doubts about his game right now. Like some of the guys coming off of bigger layoffs. I really think Jordan Spieth is just like, this is his prep time to like start going before like the thick of the season hits. Like, I don't know if we ever really see him do like crazy insane things at this point. Like the past couple of years, like DJ and Justin Thomas have been like the couple guys at the very beginning of the season that you see just like winning two or three tournaments in a row and everyone like kind of freaking out about them. So like, I am in no way scared about Jordan Spieth. Like I guess the one reservation I would have would be the Poana greens. Like maybe that's like where he's going wrong, which it's not as obvious as someone like Rory McIlroy, who like could not putt last week. So he was still making putts. He's not been the same Jordan Spieth we know as like the number one putter in the world, which he really hasn't been for like quite some time now. But
And he was asked about it, and he, you know, what he said was that he felt confident in his putts, and even though he wasn't setting it on fire, like that says a lot to me if a guy feels confident in what he's doing.
Yeah, and I would like actually, believe it or not, kind of take his word there, because I think a lot of people, when they like are not finishing well, are kind of trying to think of excuses, and like he would probably be straight up like, I don't know what's going on with my putting, if he didn't know what was going on with his putting. And like he made the cut and he finished 20th. Like he did fine, and he's performed well here before. He's one of the guys, he gets wild sometimes, but in terms of approach shots and then like sinking birdie putts, like Jordan Spieth, like that's him right there. So, and I think he is like, you take the past few weeks into consideration, he's going to be way less owned than Dustin Johnson and some of the other names in this field. Oh, yeah. So like I'm fully once again okay with playing Jordan Spieth.
All right, any other studs? You were kind of off on Rory.
Yeah.
JT, you know.
Yeah, so I'm off on Rory. Who knows? I don't want to even begin to speculate about him.
But not at that price.
Yeah, the way he 11-1 is like, it was truly disgusting to watch what he was doing on the greens. I just like it was like once I started paying attention to Rory, I was just like, no. So 100. I'm just off of
Hank Haney said he thinks he has the yips. He said watching his forward stroke, like there's movement all over the place. And,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that's something you can't fix in a week.
He was missing 3-4 putters, which I guess 3 or 4 footers, and like that happens on Poana, whatever. But we saw some nasty drives out of him. Like if you go back and look at my Twitter, I was like cracking up on Sunday, just like taking these videos of my TV. It was just like he's such a head case on top of like just like when he plays bad, he just gets into his own head and he keeps playing bad. So like, I'm no thank you. No thank you. No thank you. I think the only other guy worth considering in the price range is Justin Thomas. Justin Thomas, who is just another consistent player, but the one thing you can hold against him here is his course history. I'll talk about this a little later, but like a lot of these guys actually played here in the NCAA, which you've probably heard if you read about DFS golf. A lot of people have been mentioning this. Justin Thomas, dating back to like when he was playing at Alabama, he just really hasn't done amazing on the course. At 10-7 on DK, he's not really on my radar here. So DJ and Jordan Spieth are like the two top dollar guys I'm paying attention to this week.
All right, let's move down into the nines. Got some fresh faces there as well.
Yeah, definitely. One guy I'll just mention quickly, a bit above the nines, would be Paul Casey, 10-2. Good course history. The past couple years, 16 and 17, not like quite great, but he finished second here in 2015. He's been like ridiculously consistent lately. I am still questioning if he can win a tournament, if he knows how to come in first, but one way or another at 10-2, you compare him to a guy like Rory McIlroy, for instance, at over 1100, like Paul Casey's coming 8th, 9th, 11th, his last three starts.
Yep.
And those are all against like
really solid,
hugely like very good fields. I always love Paul Casey. Like just like, someone we're talking like all around game here that you can't really like choose any one point of his game and like really point it out as being a negative. That's him right there. So I'll go past him. Phil Mickelson, people will be looking at this week, 9,900 DK. It's, you're asking too much. He ended up tied in second last week, and that was after like a very good Sunday. I love Phil Mickelson, I really do. Like I like him, especially in this part of the season, but 9,900 is just too much. I'm gonna be passing him up this week. How do you feel about Phil?
You know, I like him in tournaments. I think the price point there is gonna push his ownership down a little bit. He doesn't seem quite as popular as anybody above him. And then, you know, there's guys right there below him that you're happy to click on as well. So he's just all season kind of been under-owned, in my opinion. And I think that continues. So in a tournament, sure. Cash lineups, yeah. You know, he's been a little bit inconsistent as he's getting older here. So it's a little bit of a concern for me.
Yeah. I think that is a good point, that I think he's been low owned for other reasons, like people just being a little more afraid of him in past weeks coming into this week. Mm-hmm. I think you might see the shift.
Yeah, he had a miscut, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think you might see the shift from that to like him being a little more owned, just low owned, just because of this price. So, and because of like the ridiculous amount of names within like a 1,000 price salary, like just below him. So,
And one of those names is Tommy Fleetwood. Talk to me.
Yes.
About the Fleetwood.
Yeah, Fleetwood. So in our little break here, I know we weren't actually recording this podcast at the time, but for anyone who reads any lineup logics, PGA stuff, I was trying to cover as much as I could throughout the winter. Tommy Fleetwood. So I was keeping up as best as I could with the European tour from like November into December. And like this guy has just been like, just so good. Like if I had to choose one name of someone who's gonna win a major this year, it's gonna be Tommy Fleetwood. He's just like making these ridiculous finishes, and he's another guy, like I was just saying, that like you can't really point out one part of his game that isn't like on point. So you're not seeing course history, which like I wrote about, like I pray to God that brings his ownership down. But at the same time, I think he's been pretty popular. Like he's a name that I've heard out there so far this week. So I would expect him to be up there, because I think 9,500 is a very, very reasonable price for him. He won the Abu Dhabi championship. He came in sixth with like a pretty much flawless 69, 69, 66, 68 Dubai, the Omega Dubai Desert Classic. And that was his most recent tournament. Like Tommy Fleetwood and this course, though we don't have any history of him playing it, I mean, he's like one of my absolute favorites this week.
Yeah. And you know what? Looking at last year's course history, three guys who hadn't played this course before came in top 10. So it's not like it can't be done.
I didn't even realize that, but that is that further, definitely. Yeah. That's actually great to hear. But
Peter Schneiderjans, they were second and eighth, and Wesley Bryan was fourth, all playing the course for the first time,
yeah,
at least as a professional.
Yeah, so actually, you know what, that, as much as I hate to say it, those three names right there, that goes and goes to show that those guys are all, in my book, they're bombers in my book. They hit the ball far. So, hey, something to keep into consideration there, like hitting the ball far. Maybe that is a little something. I'll go right down to, I don't want to go too far down into, all right, do you have anyone else in the upper nines or the mid nines here? Mid to upper nines?
Yeah, not really. I mean, you know, anybody there is safe, but I think in the eights and the high sevens is really where you have to make your mark this week. DK, at least, is really spread out the pricing from last week, where it was all, you know, pay down or pay up. It's really spread out, and I think you can build some really nice balanced lineups with guys in the high sevens, eights, and nines.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now that I'm like taking another look. All right, so the nines, you really have Mickelson, Fleetwood, Berger, Grace. So Berger, I kind of like passed up on the last time we saw him. And I mean, he's consistent. He's just been like, Berger is a guy that, like, I don't know, I just haven't learned to personally trust yet, but I won't fault you for playing him. He's 9,200 on DraftKings. Brendan Grace, a guy who literally like did not even hit my radar last week, and I am still kind of wondering why. He finished 20th, like tied with Jordan Spieth last week, and he looked great. So, I mean, both of those options they're in play. I don't have like too much to say about them. I think they're both They're both cut makers and they both have upside at 9,200 and 9,000. But I agree with you. I think lineups are going to be made in this sub 9,000, like 7,500 to 8,800 range. And to get that section kicked off, we have to mention Tiger Woods. What are your thoughts on Tiger Woods? I like to hear your thoughts before I give mine.
You know, I think you hit the nail on the head in your article. It's, we just don't know enough yet. I don't think any amount of analysis on Tiger is going to get it done, but it's, you know, don't put him anywhere near a cash lineup. If you really want to root for Tiger, put him in a GPP and see what happens.
Yeah. So I think this price is like, it's getting down to the price where it makes you start thinking. Like, I think the last time we saw him, he was overpriced. It was an easy no for me. I think 8,800 this week is still an easy no for me. And my exact reasoning behind that is pretty straightforward. So you think of the first time we saw him was the Hero Classic. The thing he was seemingly doing wrong was it was his short game that was hurting him. And that was in the Bahamas. It was a little more wide open. You can get on the green from like pretty much wherever you hit the ball, as long as you're not in some weird hazard or whatever. So it was like, oh, Tiger's short game just needs some work and he'll be good. The next time we see him, it was widely accepted that it was his tee shots and his driver that was really holding him back. He couldn't hit fairways. It was his main flaw was just like going everywhere off the tee. And if he goes everywhere off the tee this week, he is toast. He's done. And
right.
It's not worth the risk with like the other huge thing for me is like Tiger Woods in course history. It's almost like you can't look at it because he's won everywhere a million times in his career. Like in that 10-year span, he was just winning everywhere. And like you look back here, he's never won here. He has like no like amazing finishes here, especially in the recent past. Nope. So taking that into consideration, just ignore him in my book, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if you want to root for Tiger, go put down a top 10 bet straight up and you can root for Tiger and build a better lineup.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. Like put a win bet on him for like $10. Like, yeah, you'll make more money that way. It's not going to happen. And if it does.
All right. So who else you got in the eighth?
So, all right. I'm going to jump on down to see, this is tough. It really is. It's a stacked little category here. I don't want to give up on Pat Perez. I like Pat Perez. I don't want to like sound like a broken record here, but he's almost okay. I'll combine these two guys into one, Pat Perez and Mark Leishman, because in my book, it's like they're so similar where they just keep making these cuts, and they've both had some very impressive finishes since the fall. I think they've both kind of made names, not made names for themselves because they've been around and they've been names, but they've really like stood out in the past 3-4 months, and they're priced at 86 and 8,500 on DK. Pat Perez has been in the top 10 three times in this season since November. Mark Leishman four times. Like they're both doing great things. And I think these are both very reasonable prices for them. Pat Perez is coming off of a week off. He's not coming off of a week off. Pat Perez finished 35th last week. Mark Leishman is coming off of a week off where he finished 31st in the waste management. And before that was like pretty remarkable. So like both of those guys, 100% in play for me. How do you feel about Pat Perez and Mark Leishman?
Hey, I'm in on both. It's not like either guy has tanked, you know, they haven't been where they want to be, but most of it has been due to like just one bad round out of the four. and you know, not even a bad round. If you're finishing in the 30s, you know, that's, you're still in the top quarter of players. So, you know, like what we saw with Gary Woodland at the Waste Management was he just eliminated that one bad round and he won the tournament. So I think either of these guys could do that.
Yeah. 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 And they're both long ball hitters too. Like they, so, and I don't see either one of them is really like the guy you got to keep an eye on because they're wild or something like that. So taking into my side into consideration and then the long ball too, like both of them, I think can really excel here. And at the $8,500 level, like they could also set you apart. Like you see them in the top five instead of a Dustin Johnson and bam, you're two steps ahead of the next right. guy. So I'll jump down to real quick. I'm going to mention Matt Kuchar. I still like him here. I really do a lot. Like, I don't know if it's just me and Matt Kuchar. Now that I'm like vocalizing everything, I'm like, do I talk about this guy too much? Like, do I just like this old dude? I don't know. He's just, yeah. He doesn't scare me ever. Like, he doesn't scare me to put in my lineups. And I just want to keep playing him as much as I can. And he's like another stat guy. So like I'm very stat focused in a lot of my like analysis towards this stuff. And like, he always comes in towards the top. Like he's number six overall for me here. A couple of them we've already talked about. So like he's up there. Last week, like the third round gave me a near heart attack. I was like sweating cuts hard. We were all talking about it in the Slack chat. So for cut yep. sweats, join Lineup Logic. You can come talk about it with me every single week because I'll be there. Always am.
Yeah. Commiserate with the
exactly. Rest. So yeah, I mean he had a tough. The Friday actually wasn't that bad. I can't even remember where he was at, but his real bad round was the third round. He shot a 75. And I'm not even really sure what happened to him. I think he was just like kind of all over the place and it was like very uncharacteristic of him. But then in the fourth round, he had seven birdies in the fourth round. He offset that with a few bogeys, but like he was right in there. Mm-hmm. He has proven he's proven himself on the Poana greens. I'm still into him. If you want to play him, play him. I think 8,400 is still very reasonable for him.
Right. All right. Let's kick off the high sevens with a three-way toss up. I got three names here that are all fairly recently performing for people. You got Brandon Steele, Kevin Streelman, and Rafa Cabrera Bello. At 7,900, 7,800, 7,700 on TK. You got room for one. Who are you going with?
Yeah, this is a tough one. So Cabrera Bello. I mean, this is like going off of what I was saying with Tommy Fleetwood earlier. Like I was watching him during the winter and I was like so into this guy just because he always seems to be like a little underpriced and he's another very consistent guy. Like even if you're just like scanning DraftKings, you see four top tens and nine out of nine cuts. It's like he's always in the mix. He didn't disappoint last week at 6,900, which I think was huge for some people. Like even seeing in chat, like he provided so much space for other guys in your lineup and like, he was high owned, but he wasn't like crazy high owned. Like he didn't like, yeah, he was totally worth it. Kevin Streelman. I'm always like, oh, bore me to death. Make the cut, bore me to death. But hey,
right.
He and Larry Fitzgerald fucking killed it last week. And I was,
I think Fitz got into his head a little bit, maybe gave him a pep talk or something.
He must have. Like people were doubting Larry Fitzgerald. I can't remember what he said his handicap was. And people were like, oh, Larry Fitzgerald, like, sure, like, Larry Fitzgerald and Kevin Streelman, they took it down. They won the Pro-Am section of the tournament. Yep. Kevin Streelman looked great all week. Like, I think he had one little hiccup round there. Yeah, like Matt Kuchar, 72 in the third round, and then came back. Like, Kevin Streelman is still 7,800. Like, you can't say no to him, but at the same time, I still do have, like, the boring Kevin Streelman. Like, I just don't see him, like, going above and beyond and winning this. Like, yeah, I see him top 20, and that's fine with me. But I'd have to say...
Right. And I'm going to say the same thing about him that I said last week was, if I know I can get a leg up on 20% or so of the field, just, you know, because that's about what his ownership's going to be. If he just has a pedestrian round, you know, you can replace him with a guy who's going to do better than 25th. That's how you're going to win a tournament. Now, if it's a cash lineup, yeah, he's an awesome play.
Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. Yeah, Streelman, I think I'll always recommend Streelman in cash lineups. And like at 7,800, you can put him in GPP lineups too. Like, I think that's actually the price line that's bordering, like, making people question maybe. I mean, he's coming off of a very, very good week. So like, maybe not so much, maybe it all evens out, but like Streelman at 7,800, maybe people don't want to play him because he's getting a little too expensive. And then drive his ownership down, or it's just everybody saying like, oh, he's a cash play, not a GPP play. So then you're ultimately differentiating by putting Streelman in a GPP lineup. That's maybe thinking about it too much. I don't know, but he's
yeah, I think that is, it's he's still such a low price, and he's got the, you know, I think he was sixth last week, so he's going to be in the 20s.
Yeah. All right. Well, so all right, play him cash.
So I cross him up. So Steel versus Bay.
This is really, really tough, but I'm gonna stick with my guns here.
Who do you think?
I'm gonna say Bayo. Like, he just stands out to me as like the better golfer of the pair, and he doesn't scare me at all either. And I think with the little bit of an elevated price from what we saw, he's still like a tremendous value from where I, in my opinion, where he should be. Like, we saw him at 9,100 back in November. And like, granted, that might be like a little, I know it was the Hong Kong Open. That was like Justin Rose. And I feel like Justin Rose might have won that, but he came in second. Like, he came in second in the Dubai behind, I think that was Tommy Fleetwood, like I was just talking about. He's, I'm going with Bayo here, but by all means, Brendan Steele, he's not out of play this week at all. I think 7,900 is extremely reasonable for him. That just goes to like really point out that this mid to upper 7,000s is like it's a good price range.
Right. All right. Do you want to talk to me about Thomas Peters at all?
Yeah. Yes, I do. 7,700. Thomas Peters, I think he's just like another one of my favorite prices. My favorite plays at this course right now. I feel like I don't want to get like overly focused on the European Tour players here, but Peters has had some real, real good finishes in the past year. He showed us that he can play here. He finished second here. Last year he came in second. So something I know has been said elsewhere, and I'm just going to say it here, is the 2012 NCAA championship. Very interesting field in this tournament. I heard about it elsewhere. We had some big names that year. It's crazy. That was 5.5 years ago now, but, Thomas Peters came in first there in the individual match, shooting 69, 68, 71 in college. Fourth place that same year, UCLA. Patrick Cantlay Guess who came in seventh from Alabama? Justin Thomas. And to round it out, number finishing 13th was Dominic Bazzelli from Pittsford, New York, my hometown. Kid I played with when I was 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. He came in 13th that year. They're all in the field this week. So if you're looking for a sub 5% owned player, Dominic Bazzelli, go ahead, do it. I'm fully on board. He hasn't had the greatest season. But anyways, Thomas Peters, he hits the ball far. He knows the course. He likes the course. He's been performing well. He's got the approach shots and he can putt. Like, there's not much more to be said about him. I don't think he's going to miss a cut. At 7,700, I think he's just like an awesome play.
Agreed. Yeah. He's going to be popular this week for his price, but it is kind of the same situation as Cabrera Bayo last week. It's, you know, it's worth it at that price. It's worth the salary relief.
Yeah, I think he's going to be. I think a lot of people are thinking about him. I think a lot of people are thinking about Tommy Fleetwood too, but maybe, hopefully less so, I'm thinking, because he doesn't have the course history. So, like, the course history is what makes it stand out, the second place last year, but I'm fully on board.
Right. Gotcha. All right, so the sevens go on forever, and obviously we don't have time to cover them all. So is there anybody else that you have to mention in the sevens?
Let me just highlight some of my favorites here. Patrick Cantlay, who I just talked about, he's always on my list. He's like, for some reason, him and like Paul Casey, which is funny because Paul Casey just like shot up. Like, he's up there in the tens now, and Patrick Cantlay's down at 7.6. 7.6 is too, it's just not, it's too low of a price for Patrick Cantlay. So I'm all about him this week. Whatever, we'll move on. Play him again. Like, I have nothing more to say. Keegan Bradley at 7.62. Like, comparing the two, if you're looking at Patrick Cantlay and Keegan Bradley, I'm saying 100%, and JB Holmes, another guy at 76. Like, by far my favorite here is Patrick Cantlay. End of story. JB Holmes is officially like, just, I can't trust him anymore. I'm past him. I know I was kind of about him last week, but I'm all over him. He's just a little too risky for me at this point. Keegan Bradley, he's always risky, but he's had a good year. So, quite possible. This 7,600 actually on DraftKings. 76 to 77 is freaking stacked. You go, oh, gotta keep scrolling. All right, so let's just talk about the 76 to 700 to 7,700. Choose two. Let's hear what you have to say. Choose two on DraftKings. If you have the DraftKings pricing in front of you.
Yep, you said 76 to 77. Yep.
Choose two.
If I'm trying to win it, I'm going Ollie Schneider-Jans and probably Thomas Peters.
All right. Yeah. See, I can definitely respect that. I mean, Ollie is a guy I wanted to talk about. He's got the distance. If I remember correctly, yeah, he came in eighth here last year. My note is off on him, I think, so I'm not going to say that. Okay, Ollie.
Eighth, yep, eighth.
Yeah, so he came in eighth here last year, and he has the distance. He's got the game for this. I think I may have mentioned this in the past, but he has that freaking 2-iron stinger off the tee that, like, looking at this course, I just like can't think of anything that could like set you up better here. If you can like hit a 2 or 3 iron or whatever it is that you're hitting 15 feet off the ground for 280 to 300 yards in the dead center of the fairway, setting you up for like a 150 yard approach shot on 90% of these par fours, like, I don't see how that can hurt you. We've seen him putt We've seen him putt on these greens, and I think he can convert. I do really like him here. Another couple names worth mentioning in that price range, Kevin Chappell, who has been performing, like, all things considered, $7,700 is a good price for him. And then Patrick Cantlay, I can't keep my eyes off of him. So, like, we're looking at Cabrera-Bello, Peters, Chappell, Cantlay, Schneider, Jans. Those are, like, if you want to go base your lineups around them, those guys, like, solely as a core, like, I'm totally cool with that.
All right, and then real quick, give me one true pay down, you know, 6,800, 6,900.
One true pay down. I don't want to take this from you because you're the guy who's supposed to mention him, but Brandon Harkins.
He's yours. Go for it.
Brandon Harkins, he finished 15th last week. Like, we've kept talking about him, and, like, for good reason at this point. He keeps doing well, and, like, really, there's not, like, much more to say about him. He finished 15th last week, 12th at the Farmers, 8th at the Career Builder. He's been having a heck of a year. He finished strong last week with a 66 on Sunday that shot him up into that 15th position, but he made the cut before that. So, like, it's not like he was playing poorly before that. I definitely like him here. Yeah, he actually missed the cut at the Waste Management, but that's probably part of the reason his price is at 6,800 right now. So, like, it's just way underpriced for him. Another guy I just want to mention quick, Jason Kokrak at 7,500. I think he might be a little chalky this week. I kind of, like, gravitate toward him almost every week. He's just been consistent. Like, he was there last week. I think he slowed up a little on the weekend because I was pretty excited about what he was doing. He might have had another third round hiccup, if I remember correctly. So, like, another example of the mid 700s this week. Third round 74. Like, if it weren't for that, he went 70, 67, 74, and then 70. So, like, he's another long ball guy who, like, he doesn't get into too much trouble, and you've been seeing him put on these greens and everything. Like, I'm still into him this week. Like, I think I want to say he's more of a cash option because I think he's been pretty highly talked about, but with the amount of guys in this range, maybe he won't go too high owned. I would pretty much consider him in play basically anywhere.
Yeah, it'll be low single digits. Really, most people in this range. The guy for me is a Poana specialist. I've been waiting to play. He wasn't in the field last week. Is Martin Laird. You know, he's very good on that type of grass. He struggled a little bit early on with some missed cuts, but in the Waste Management, tied for ninth. And his course history is nice. He's got an eighth last year and an 11th the year before. So for 6,900,
yeah,
somebody I'm interested in.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't consider him a cash option. I don't know. He scares me. I've played him in the past.
Nobody in this range.
Yeah. Exactly. You can't consider anyone in this. Like, we're not getting another Rafael Cabrera-Bello this week, like, at 6,900 must play. So I think it's a good take. I don't think I'm going to be playing him. He freaks me out. I just, like, don't want to deal with it after what I've seen he's capable of. But I agree, he can put on the greens, and he's shown promise at the course. He's coming off of a good finish. He's definitely in play.
All right, so running a little short on time, so I'm going to run through some pricing differences real quick. We'll do a quick buy sell, finish with some darts. On my list, going through it, the guys I thought were a low price on FanDuel comparatively to their DraftKings price were Tiger, Pat Perez, Kevin Streelman, Xander Schauffele, who was a real big difference. Somebody I would definitely be on FanDuel. Bill Haas, Bo Hostler, Luke List, and Sam Saunders. like I said, Shoffley A on that list is somebody I would definitely consider, and Pat Perez. And on the DK list, who's, you know, guys whose DK price was comparatively low to their FanDuel price, Alexander Noren, Phil Mickelson, Tony Finau, Kevin Chappelle, Cabrera Bayo, Patrick Cantlay, Shane Lowry, Adam Scott, Austin Cook, and Charles Howell III. Out of those guys that kind of pique my interest, Austin Cook a little bit. We'll talk about him in a second. Chapel, Finau. Yeah, there's a lot more flexibility on DK. So I don't know if you need to put too much stock in this. More so on FanDuel, you need to find those pay downs.
Yeah, I actually have.
But let's dive into buy sell.
What's real that out? Quick. So four guys stood out to me a lot in terms of pricing differences that I'll just highlight real quick here. First off, Tiger Woods, 9,300 on, he's 9,300 on FanDuel and 8,800 on DK. It doesn't seem like a big difference, but he is the 29th priced guy on FanDuel and the 10th priced guy on DK. So if you're going to play Tiger Woods, play him on FanDuel. Pretty much, like, he's a fave for me on DraftKings. Bubba Watson, who we'll talk about in a minute, but price differences, 9,300 FanDuel, 7,800 DK. He's 32nd on FanDuel, 21st on DK. Play him on FanDuel if you're going to play him anywhere. Kevin Chappell, huge difference. There's actually one more guy with a huge difference here. Kevin Chappell is 10-2 on FanDuel, 7-7 on DK, 15th top price guy on FanDuel, 25th on DK. Play him on DK. The last guy I have to mention here, Adam Scott. Like, looking at these numbers, I'm actually second guessing myself here. What is his price on FanDuel? Adam Scott. Yeah, I'm not crazy. He's 10-7 on FanDuel, which is just absurd. That's crazy. So Adam Scott.
You could probably figure out what different variable in the DK and FanDuel models are just by looking at his performance.
It's like, did we just crack the code? I think we did. All right. Adam Scott, who has just sucked lately. 10-7 on FanDuel, 7-4 on DK. 12th most expensive on FanDuel, 36th on DK. Play him on DK if you're going to play him anywhere. Enough said. We're short on time. Let's go.
And I just posted my list there in the Slack chat, and you've probably already read it since I'm talking to you from the future.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, buy sell. I got a couple quick names for you. We covered Thomas Peters pretty well. He's going to be chalky, but I think he's a buy for both of us. What about Ches Reavie?
Oh, Ches Reavie, as everyone who knows me, who knows my stuff, I love Ches Reavie. He's 8,000. That's absolutely absurd for what he's been doing lately. Just like, play him. If you're playing cash, just 1,000,000,000% play him. If you're playing GPPs, I guess you might want to think about it, because if he's not high owned, then I'm on another planet. I don't know. He missed the cut here last year. That's the only thing you got to think about. He came in seventh the year before, but just whatever. Ches, he's doing great, and I love the guy. You got to play him at 8,000. Like, it's just so cheap.
Yeah, some other chalky names we already hit on. DJ, obviously a play. Paul Casey, I think he's a play for both of us, even though he's going to be a little chalky. Phil, we were split on.
Phil, I'm sticking strong to fade. I just think he's too expensive, but I'm not counting him out of a top 10 here, but 9,900 DK, too much.
You mentioned Bubba briefly there. Are you going to play Bubba in a cash lineup?
100% no, not playing Bubba in a cash lineup. GPPs, don't count him out. Like, I've seen videos of him online. He loves to show how he can bend the ball. He can hook it. He can slice it. He can go left to right, right to left. And that is like this course. If he can smash a driver and bend it whichever way he wants. Like, that's his thing, and that's why he's done so well here in the past. He won in 2016. He won in 2014. He came 14th in 2015. He didn't play last year. So, like, great option. He's been showing us that he's like on a comeback trail here. So at 7,800 on DK, or at 9,300 on FD, like, he's in play, GPPs only. Don't play him in cash. I'm not comfortable with him in cash.
Yeah, I don't even know about a GPP. I'm not feeling Bubba right now. But all right, let's wrap with our darts. And this week, what we're going to do is we're going to give you one guy who's got a good course history, but a poor recent performance. One guy who's never played the course, because a lot of people are putting stock into the course history this week. And then we'll do comeback player who missed the cut last week. What do you want to kick off with, Alex?
All right. Never played the course before. For the sake of being quick here, I'm just going to name two names. Tommy Fleetwood, we've talked about him enough. I love him here, 9,500. Number two, Hao Tong Li, the Chinese phenom. He's like another guy I just followed over the winter, and like he's been absolutely killing it. He's coming off of a miscut, probably dragging his price down at 7,200. He's never played here, which is why I'm mentioning him here. He won the Dubai Desert Classic. He's got good finishes, like so many good finishes lately. I really think he's like an up and coming guy. Like you can just Google his name and read about it. Hao Tong Li, 7,200. I really think you can't count him out here. And like he could literally win the tournament and nobody is talking about him. And he's just like, he's a good, right, good player.
All right. For me, never played the course. Alexander Noren. We saw what he could do at the Farmers Open, losing in the playoff there. He's been playing really well on the Euro Tour. Just a solid golfer. I think he goes overlooked this week because people have short memories.
I agree with that. People are going to be looking at last week. So, all right. Good history, bad recent play.
Okay.
The easiest answer to that is Bubba Watson. Like, he's been heating up lately. But before that, he's just been awful. He won here 14, like I just said. 14th in 2015, and then won here again in 2016. Like, you can't count him out. He's cheap-ish. He's scary to play, but he could. Who knows? Who knows what he's capable of?
All right, for me, it's Song Moonbae. He's missed 7 out of 9 cuts lately, although tied for 15th last week. So a little bit of a trend in the right direction, but man, his course history is good. It's an eighth, a 12th, and an eighth. Hasn't played it in 2 years, but that's solid. You know, for a guy who's going to cost you nothing, he's got a great shot at a top 10.
Yeah, I agree with that. He's back. He was overseas. He was fighting. He was in the army, whatever he was doing. I think he's like finally back in form, and I hope he's back in form. That would be very cool if he was back in form. So that's a cool punt. That's a punt I am fully in favor of. I don't know how much of him.
Yeah, 7,200.
But hey, 7,200. You can't complain. Him and Hao Tong Li at the same price, I would put them on the same level. Both are capable of a lot here.
Okay. And then who do you got for comeback player?
Comeback player, missed the cut last week, Rory McIlroy. He's a stud. I mean, he's Rory McIlroy. If there's one thing I know about Rory McIlroy, is like he's probably been beating himself up for 4 days straight about missing like 3 footers and 5 putting eagle putts. I don't think we could possibly see him do what he was doing last week. Like, he was in the mix and then he just did a bunch of stupid stuff. So you take out that stupid stuff and I think he's got a chance. So he's going to be low owned. He's super expensive, but like he's a good GPP play. He can definitely set you apart from DJ owners and Spieth owners. And I think he's worth a shot. Why not?
All right. For me, it's going to be Austin Cook. He'd been pretty good form lately prior to missing the cut. a pebble, you know, mostly in the top 25s. He's got 8 out of 9 cuts made. He's got a win at the RSM in the fall. You know, I'm in on him until I see further that he's not in form. So that's what we got this week.
Yep. Austin Cook is another guy I always like.
Yep. And you know, if you've listened to us this long, think about going over to Patreon, getting into the $20 tier in Lineup Logic. You're going to get the golf content, the cheat sheet, Alex's model. Along with that, you get everything else that Lineup Logic has to offer. You get basketball coverage, basketball cheat sheet. You get the 5x5 for basketball, which is an awesome tool. And then, you know, when baseball season is here, when football season is here, you're covered. You know, you won't have to touch the wallet at all. We got you for everything. So get on over there to Patreon, Lineup Logic. Hit us with any questions and get cashing, guys.
Yep, I agree. Catch us in the Slack chat. It's a great time. It's always a good time. I'm literally always there. So, like, I'm talking 7 in the morning to 2 in the morning, 22 hours, whatever it is. We're always there to answer, and it's always a good time talking to everybody too.
Yeah,
it's a
growing community. I don't know why. Sometimes my phone stops giving me notifications from the Slack chat, and I get in there, and I've missed like an hour or two's worth of chatter, and I'm just bummed. I got to catch up.
I am literally always there. Sometimes I feel annoying, but you know, only so much you can do.
But yeah, hit us there. Hit us on Twitter at @Roto_Wan, WAN, and at Donald Remington for Alex as well.
All right, guys. Good luck this week. Thanks for listening.
All right. Take care, guys.